Welcome to the Citizen Media Law Podcast, providing practical knowledge and tools for citizen journalists. I'm Colin Reinsmith, digital media producer at the Citizen Media Law Project. This week, David Ardia talks about the lawsuit against AutoAdmit, and I'll speak with Sam Bayard about a recent decision involving the celebrity blogger Perez Hilton.
Last week, lawyers for two female Yale law students, identified only as Doe 1 and Doe 2, filed an amended complaint dropping Anthony Scioli as a defendant from the lawsuit they filed against a host of pseudonymous users of the popular law school admissions forum, AutoAdmit. The lawsuit, which has engendered a great deal of publicity, charges that users of the site made defamatory, vulgar, sexually explicit, and threatening comments about the Yale students on AutoAdmit's forum. Mr. Scioli, the former chief education director of the site, was almost certainly immune from liability under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, so it's no surprise that he has been dropped from the suit. In amending their complaint, however, the plaintiffs did more than simply drop Scioli. They also refocused their claims in the lawsuit. Perhaps recognizing that it would be difficult to prove that the statements on the AutoAdmit forum hindered their ability to get a job, the amended complaint now focuses on the defendant's harassing and threatening behavior. As a result, the lawsuit is now much more streamlined and will likely move forward rapidly as the two Yale law students look to unmask the individuals who posted the comments.
2 weeks ago, a California judge dismissed celebrity DJ Samantha Ronson's libel suit against Mario Lavandera, also known as gossip blogger Perez Hilton. We've obtained a transcript of the court's ruling that we've made available on our website at citmedialaw.org. According to Ronson's complaint, Celebrity Babylon published statements in late May 2007 accusing Ronson of planting drugs in Lindsay Lohan's car and setting up Lohan for press photographers in exchange for money. Allegedly, Lavandera republished these statements on his blog on June 1st, adding that Ronson had been, quote, toxic, unquote, for Lohan. Later that month, Ronson sued Lavandera and the operators of Celebrity Babylon. The complaint asserted a claim for libel and asked for $20 million in damages. On November 1st, the court dismissed Ronson's complaint against Lavandera under California's anti-slap statute. To learn more about this statute and how it applied to this case, we're joined by Sam Bayard, Assistant Director for the Citizen Media Law Project. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Colin.
Sam, what is this statute and how is it relevant to the case?
Well, the first thing to understand is that SLAP stands for Strategic Lawsuits Against Public Participation. And in recent years, there's been a good deal of public outcry about lawsuits brought by powerful actors against people that are engaging in speech, basically, exercising their free speech rights. And the idea is that these lawsuits aren't meritorious. Instead, they're simply sort of a frivolous action that's meant to harass and silence a less powerful critic. And the legislatures of a number of U.S. states sort of recognized this trend, and they passed these anti-slap statutes in order to redress the problem. Now, what it does for a defendant who believes that they've been sued for exercising their free speech rights is it gives them the ability to bring this anti-slap motion to strike at the beginning of a lawsuit. And if they win on this motion, then not only is the complaint dismissed, but the other side has to pay their attorney's fees.
How did this statute apply directly to Perez's case?
Well, the statute basically says that any cause of action that's brought against someone for exercising their free speech rights will be subject to this motion. And to show that a defendant is exercising his or her free speech rights, the statute lays out a number of ways that they can show this. But the one that was pertinent in this case is that it says that if you are engaging in speech in a public forum about a matter of public interest, then that triggers the anti-slap statute.
Once the court determined that the anti-slap statute applied, why did the court strike the complaint?
Once the anti-slap statute was triggered, it became Ronson's responsibility to provide some evidence on each of the elements of her claim of defamation or libel. And Now, the court held that she hadn't produced any evidence on the element that's known as actual malice, meaning that she hadn't brought forward any evidence that Lavandera knew or recklessly disregarded the fact that the statements he was making were false.
So is it strange to you at all that this statute applies in this case of celebrity blogging?
A little bit. I think, you know, if you really look at where this statute came from, I think it was probably meant to apply to some, you know, it had higher aspirations. It was meant to apply to sort of more core political speech dealing with burning social issues, that kind of thing. But that said, I'm not surprised that it was used in this case because courts sort of have traditionally been very loath to draw fine distinctions between what's sort of legitimate speech or valuable speech and what's not.
Sam, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Citizen Media Law Podcast, a production of the Citizen Media Law Project at Harvard Law School's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode number 5. In the meantime, stay tuned at our blog at citmedialaw.org.